All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Gimel. We are picking up Emir Hashem on daf Beis Amud Beis. And we are picking up Emir Hashem. We are picking up Virabbanan. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so remember again, we are continuing in our discussion here. We're continuing our discussion here regarding the Machlokis Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon in the Mishnah, specifically focusing on the height of a Mavui. So remember again, the Mishnah told us that the Pshita of the Rabbanon is that the Korah of a Mavui, right, the crossbeam of the Mavui cannot be more than 20 Amos. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda seemed to indicate that Halach Alamais, even if it's more than 20 Amos, it is not a problem. So the Gemara was suggesting, Rav was suggesting, that Halach Alamais, this is based on a fundamental machlokas regarding the source of the paradigmatic Pesach. At what serves as the source of the paradigmatic Pesach? So the Rabbanon will say, the entrance we have the Heichal, which is 20 by 10. Versus Rabbi Yehuda will say that it's the entranceway of the Ulam, which is 40 by 20. Now this was the position of Rav, right? This was Rav's approach to this machlokes. We saw that not everybody agrees with this. So the Gemara says, V'rabbanon say, if the Rabbanon, imi pischo shel Heichal, Gemiri, if the Rabbanon indeed hold that halacha lemaisa, we learn out the dimensions for a Pesach of a Mavui from the dimensions of the Heichal, the Bay de Losos Kehechal. So we'll say the Heichal, right, the entranceway to the primary structure of the Beis HaMikdash, had doors. So if that's the case, that the entranceway of the Heichal serves as the paradigmatic Pesach, then halacha lemaisa, why not require the presence of doors as well? Alamatanan, why did we learn? We learned elsewhere. Alamatanan, Hechshem Mavui, when it comes to making the Mavui fit for carrying, Beis Shammai Omrim Lechi Bekora, Beis Shammai says you need both a Lechi and a Kora, a side beam and a top beam, or Beis Silva Omrim Lechi Okora. Beis Silva holds, no, you don't need both. However, I will say, but no one says that you need what? No one says you need doors. No one says you need doors. I don't understand. If indeed, the Rabbanon are learning out that the entranceway of the Heichal is the paradigmatic Pesach, and it's from the details of the Heichal that you create the details of the entranceway of the Mavoi, they require doors. So this is actually quite beautiful, to which the Gemara says, Delasos Heichal Litznius Ba'amahu Da'abidan. Because the doors of the Heichal were there, not because doors are necessary to create an entranceway, but rather, ultimately, again, for tznius, for modesty purposes. So it's actually quite beautiful that there was a concept that the avoda inside of the Beis HaMikdash be done in a tsanua fashion, modeling for us an incredible yisod, that in the pursuit of spirituality, spiritual service should be tsanua, should be modest, that a person doesn't need to broadcast their spiritual accomplishments or spiritual endeavors, but things that they do, Hatznei Alecha Sim Hashem Elokecha, that what I do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way I conduct myself with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even my spiritual activities, ultimately again should be done with a sense of modesty. Alame Ato, Lo Tehani Le Tzura Sapesach, Teha Heichal Tzura Sapesach Havile, Afilu Haki Eser Amosu, So remember again, the Mishnah says something very interesting. The Mishnah said that halacha lemaisa, an entranceway should not be more than 10 amas wide. Should not be more than 10 amas wide. And remember again, the Mishnah said if it's more than 10 amas wide, you might. However, the Mishnah then said, if the entranceway has a tzura sapesach, two side beams and a beam across, even if it's more than 10 amas, that should be okay. So we'll say, if indeed the Rabbanon are learning out the concept of Pesach from the entranceway of the Heichal, then a Tzuras HaPesach should not work for an entranceway wider than 10 Amos. Why? Very simple. Because the entranceway of the Heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach, and yet was still only 10 Amos wide. Shouldn't that teach us that Halacha L'maisa, even with 10 amas, even with the Tzuras HaPesach, more than 10 amas will not work. And yet, Alam Tznan, why did we learn? Im yesh lo Tzuras HaPesach, if ultimately, again, the entranceway to the Mavoi has a Tzuras HaPesach, so, af api shiracham me'esra amos, inu tzarech lema'it. Ultimately, again, if it's more than 10 amas, you don't have to diminish it. So we'll say, all the Gemara is asking over here is that halacha l'maaseh, if you're really going to learn out the definition of the paradigmatic Pesach from the entranceway of the Heichal, then shouldn't the entranceway mirror an entranceway of the Heichal in every single way? So the Heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach, but was still within 10 Amos. Why then does the Mishnah allow for an entranceway that is wider than 10 Amos if you have a Tzuras HaPesach? To which the Gemara says, first of all, before you get all excited about this, Midihu Taima Ela L'Rav. So say, remember again, not everyone agrees that the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda glean their respective shitas from the entranceways of the Heichal and the Ulam, right? That's just Rav. So just the Gemara says, all of these questions that you're asking are only in accordance with the interpretation of Rav. So the Gemara says, because we'll say, for example, Rav Yehuda said to Chiyah Barav in front of Rav, then halacha lemaaseh, if you have a Tzuras HaPesach that is more than 10 Amos, and it has a Tzuras HaPesach, you don't have to go ahead. I'm sorry. If you have an opening that is more than 10 Amos wide and you have a Tzuras HaPesach, you need not close up some of that entranceway. And then Rav commented, asking it tzarech lemait. No, you have to amend the Mishnah to read that you must diminish it. So therefore the Gemara is just suggesting that lemaisa, all of these questions that you're asking are only in line with the Shita of Rav, because Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan glean their Shitas from the entranceways of the Ulam and the Heichal. But not everyone agrees with that. Good, elameyato. But according to this approach, top of Gimel Amud Aleph, lo tehani le Amaltura. So we'll say if this is the case, then an Amaltura should not help. So we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. Lo tehani le Amaltura. So Rashi says, Lachshure govho yoser mechav lekaman mefarish my Amaltura. So we'll say, we'll see exactly what an Amaltura is in just a bit. The hahechal Amaltura havyale vafilo hachi esrim amahu degavo. So we'll say, we're going to see that essentially what an Amaltura is a cornice, right? Is like an edge. I think I sent out a picture of this on the WhatsApp chat. You could take a look. So you could see it's not the best. I'll explain it just a bit better. But if you could imagine, so you know what a cornice is, like on a regular building. So a cornice, you can have a building that has like a straight edge, or like a corner that comes out a little bit. It extends, it protrudes. That's called a cornice. So we're going to see that both the Ulam as well as the Heichal had a cornice, like some type of decorative piece that extended over the top of the entranceway. So watch this. So we'll say, we're going to see later on that an Amaltura helps even with an entranceway that is taller than 20 Amos. We'll see why that is. Yet, interestingly enough, both the Heichal and the Ulam, well, we're really focusing on the Heichal now, the Heichal had an Amaltura, had this decorative cornice, yet the entranceway was only 20 amas tall. To which the Gemara says, "Disnan chamesh amalsuros shel mila hayu al gabav." There were 5 amalsuros made of oak, mila's oak, that were on top of the entranceway of the Heichal. Hayu al gabav zulam al mizu, one on top of the other. Zulam al mizu. So the Gemara says, so if that's the case, remember. So now we're going to see in just a little bit that an amalsura, if you have some type of decorative cornice on top of the entranceway, even if your entranceway is more than 20 amas high, you could still go ahead and allow the mav, or fix the mavui in a way that allows you to carry inside. Yet, interestingly enough, the entranceway of the Heichal had an amalsura, had this decorative cornice, and yet it was still only 20 amas high. To which the Gemara says, "My tiyufta, what kind of question is this? Dilma Kitanya hi da amalsuros beulam tanya." So we'll say maybe this is talking about not the amalsuros in the Heichal, but the amalsuros ultimately in the ulam. Vahai maikusha dilma tavnis Heichal kitavnis ulam. So therefore, what would be your question? Well, maybe you'll say that the construction of the entrance of the Heichal was like the construction of the entrance of the ulam. Alama amrabi iloy amarava amarav rach vadalid. Afa pisha in a bria. So we'll say, listen to this. So why did Rav say as follows? If you have a korah, so we'll say, this is talking about a korah now. Remember again, the korah is a beam that you put across the top of the mavoi in order to permit carrying inside. So rachba dalit afa pisha in a bria. If you have a top beam that is 4 tfachim wide, because we're going to see Rav say that is the dimensions, 4 tfachim wide, but it is not strong enough to support the weight of a half a brick. We'll say, now we haven't seen this yet, but we're going to see that ideally the minimum dimensions for a korah is 4 tefachim in width and or 4 tefachim long, width of 4 tefachim, and ideally strong enough to be able to support the weight of a half a brick. So says Rav, listen to this, if you have a beam that is 4 tefachim wide, even though it's not strong enough to support a half a brick, if there is an amalsira, a cornice, some type of decorative trim on top of the doorway, even if the doorway is taller than 20 amos, eino tzarech lemait, one does not have to go ahead and diminish the height of the doorway. So we'll see, this is actually very interesting. This is the power of the Amal Surah. So the Amal Surah seems to work almost in place of the Korah. We're going to define this in just a moment. To which the Gemara says, Amrav Yosef, Amal Surah Masnisehi. The truth is, this whole discussion of the Amal Surah in reality is a Braisa. So the Gemara is a Mishnah. Man Katanila. So we'll say, who mentioned it? Amrabaye. Ultimately, again, Chama, the son of Rabba Baravua, mentioned it. But why doesn't the Amal Surah pose a question ultimately again to Rav? So we'll say, remember again, here's what you have. You have the presence of this Amal Surah, right, which is like this decorative trim, this cornice on top, which seemingly allows for an entranceway to be taller than 20 amos. Yet ultimately, again, Rav is saying that what? Rav is saying that the Shita of the Rabbanon, which is gleaned from the Heichal, also had an Amal Surah, yet was what? Only 20 amos in height. So we have now a little bit of a contradiction, because according to Rav's understanding, even the presence of an Amal Surah doesn't allow you to utilize a doorway which is more than 20 amos. Yet, we have another Braisa that clearly indicates to us that if you have an Amal Surah, halacha lemaisa, even an entranceway that's more than 20 amos should be okay. Amar lecha Rav, so Rav will say, Dal anamehacha. So the truth is, Rav says, you could even take me out of this discussion. Masnaisa milo kashana hadadi. Do the braises themselves not pose a contradiction to each other? And as we both say, just the braises themselves are contradictory, even without Rav Shita. Elamai is the chalameimar tanoihi. Rather, you have to say ultimately that this whole thing is a machlokis tanan. And I both say, look right to the right in Rashi, tanoihi. Tana de la el desrile dirabana mehechel gamri, vamalsura lomahanya, vahai tana de amalsura savar lab mehechel gamri. So we'll say, listen to this. Once again, we come back to the same idea, which is there is a fundamental machlokes tanoim about the shita of dirabanan. Where do the rabbanan glean their 20 amma shear from? So I'll say, if you hold, like Rav was saying, that the sheet of the rabbanan is gleaned from the entranceway of the Heichal, just like the Heichal entranceway was 20 ammas, so that becomes the paradigmatic definition of an entranceway, and if our halacha lemaisa, for Shabbos, for Mavui purposes, 20 ammas is your ceiling. And by the way, 20 ammas is even your ceiling, even if what? Even if you have an Amal Surah. Why? Because the Heichal itself had an Amal Surah, and yet was still only 20 ammas. The other opinion will say, the Rabbanan don't learn it out from Heichal. That's what we saw this yesterday, Zav. The Rabbanan don't learn it out from Heichal. And therefore, again, I both say, if you don't learn it out from Heichal, then halacha lemaisa, it's quite possible that the presence of an Amal Surah allows you to go ahead and what? Allows you to utilize an entranceway, even one that is which is taller than 20 amos. We'll say, just so you understand, what does that mean? Why does an Amal Surah allow you to go ahead and utilize an entranceway that is more than 20 amos tall? I'll give you coming attractions with this. It's very simple. The whole point, I will say, of the Korah, right? Remember, let's go back to yesterday's daf. You have a mavui, and you want to be able to carry in that mavui. So what do Chazal require you to do? You have to put a korah, you have to put a beam across the top of that mavui. Why? What's the magic of the beam? The answer is, it's no magic. What is it? We'll see, it's a machlokis, but for our purpose right now, what is it? It's a reminder. Right? It's a reminder. What it reminds, because what are we concerned about in a mavui? Are we concerned about carrying in a mavui? And the answer, of course, is no. What am I concerned about? I'm concerned that you're going to forget the differentiate between a mavui and an urshus harabim. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, Chazal said, very simple, just put a reminder there. Put a reminder across the entrance of the mavui. That way, if you're carrying in the mavui, fine, but you'll know not to carry into the urshus harabim. So we'll say, so the logic would therefore be that halacha lemaisa, if you had an amal surah, which is some type of decorative trim, some type of decorative cornice, which is prominent on the entranceway, that by itself is a reminder as well. So maybe even if you have an entranceway that is taller than 20 amos, so taller than 20 amos, we're concerned that the korah is outside of the range of ocular vision. You're just not going to see it. You're just not going to see it. But if it's a decorative trim, maybe you'll see it. So we'll say, so what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that whether or not an amal sarah works, lamala me'esrim, is a machlokes tanoim. So again, if you hold that the Rabbanan learn out their shita from Hechel, then Amal Surah will not work l'mala me'esrim. But if you hold they don't learn out from Hechel, then Amal Surah will work l'mala me'esrim. L'didi nami tanoi, Rav says, for me also, I acknowledge also it's machlokes tanoim. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, below Rav, Mas naisa adadi lo kashon. So Rav Yitzchak actually says, in fact, without Rav, the Mishnayos don't really pose, the Braises don't really pose a contradiction to each other. Why not? So the Gemara says, the Rabbanon Korah, here we go. The Rabbanon Korah, time am I? But according to the Rabbanon, why is it that if you put a beam across the top of the Mavui, you could carry in the Mavui, very simple, Mishum Hekera, because it will say, creates a visual reminder that this area is a Mavui, don't accidentally carry from here into the Rosh Hashanah. V'hadik tani yesra mipischo shal heilam, shal ulam, simna ba'alma. And I will say, when the Rabbanon said that the Korah should not be higher than 20 amas, just like the entranceway of the Heichal, they weren't coming to say that this halacha is gleaned from the entranceway of the Heichal. What were they giving? They were giving a simon. If you want a way to remember this halacha, because again, it's hard to remember how high could the korah go. Entrance of Heichel. That's it. Just like the entrance of Heichel is Esrim Amos, so too again, the korah should be within 20 Amos as well. But they did not mean to what? To actually glean these halachas from the entranceway of the Heichel. So the Gemara of Nachar Bar Yitzchak, Hanicha, Ilo Sviri Lehad Rabba. So Rav Nachar Bar Yitzchak's his shita works if he does not accept this approach of Rabba. Eli Sviri Lehad Rabba. But if he accepts Rabba, what does Rabba say? The Amar Rabba, Ksiv, Leman Yedu Doroseichem, Kibasuko So Shafti. Pasuk says that you shall know for all generations that I took you out in Sukkos. Ad esrim amo adam yodeh shadar b'sukkah. So we'll say that we're joining back to sukkah just a moment. So again, sukkah is a similar halacha. What's the halacha by sukkah? Sukkah must be less than 20 amas in height. So why is that? Because up until 20 amas, a person recognizes that he's living in a sukkah. L'malim esrim amo ein adam yodeh mishum delo shalta ba'ena. But I will say, ultimately, again, more than 20 amos, what are we concerned about? Once again, out of ocular range, and a person is not really going to be cognizant of the fact that they're sitting in a sukkah. Alma, gabe sukkah nami behekera pligi. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, it turns out that both by sukkah and by mavui, the fundamental discussion is, halacha lemaisa, up until what point in time is a person aware of something? So right, remember, Ebo says, Simacholgis Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Huda by Sukkah also holds that halacha l'maisa, you could be l'mala me'esrim. Sukkah could also be more than 20 amas tall. So what's this? Therefore, the fundamental machlokis really is, until what height do we believe that a person will be cognizant of that around them? The Rabbanan say that halacha l'maisa has got to be within 20 amas. More than 20 amas, person is just not aware of it. Rabbi Huda says, no, not true. Even above 20 amas, a person could be aware of something. To which the Gemara says, by the way, if ligo betarti lamali. So we'll say, so it turns out that the machlokes Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon, by sukkah and by mavui, is really the same machlokes. It's really the same machlokes. Right? What's the machlokes? Is something lamala me'esrim, above 20 amas, in your range of vision or not? That's really what this comes down to. So right, so the Rabbanon, both by sukkah and by mavoi, will say no. Therefore, the korah of the mavoi and the schach of the sukkah must be within esrim. The Rabbanon will say yes, and therefore even lamala me'esrim is going to be okay. To which the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Betarti lamali. So why do we have to have the same machlokes in two different places? Why not just state this machlokes once? And I would have known from one place, just teach me by sukkah, I could apply it to mavui. Teach me by mavui, I could apply it to sukkah. So we'll say, watch, this is very interesting. Tzricha, you need both cases. Why? diashmo inan gabi soka baha kam Rabbi Huda kevan deli yeshiva avida shalta ba'ina. So I'll say, because if Rabbi Huda would have just stated the shita that a sukkah lamala me esrim is kasher, I would have said why. It's very simple. What do you do in a sukkah? You sit in a sukkah. So because you're spending time in that sukkah, you will see the schach even if it is lamala me esrim ama. However, aval mavui tilahiluch avid. We'll say, but a mavui, which again is not meant for sitting, but rather people are just walking around. Therefore, what? Ema module l'rabbonon. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that a korah that is lamala me'esrim, people would not recognize. We'll say, it's an interesting distinction. So I'm sitting in my sukkah. So because I'm sitting in my sukkah, Rabbi Yehuda posits, I'm going to see the schach even if it's lamala me'esrim. But a mavui, people are out and about, they're doing their thing. They're not necessarily, they're concentrating, whatever it is they're concentrating, might not see the korah if it's above 20. Maybe in the case of the mavui, the Rabbanon would, excuse me, Rabbi Huda would agree with the Rabbanon. And if it would only teach me the mavui case, maybe the Rabbanon only say their shita, ultimately again in the case of the mavui, but maybe by sukkah, they are molded to Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa tzricha. The rabbis say halacha lemaisa. We need both cases. We need both cases. So therefore, again, one could not be learned out from the other. But just interestingly enough, it is the same machlokes about a sukkah lamala me'esrim, a mavui lamala me'esrim. Same machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the rabbis. Also, I realized that I did not thank the sponsors for this morning's shir. I'm sorry. Thank our Talmud Torah sponsors, Avram and Shane D. Kelman, for dedicating all of the shiurim and drushas this month in the hope that the month of Av will be a yomtiv filled with joy in the eternal Beis HaMikdash. Our Dafyomi sponsors, Jeff and Shari Venik, Stephen and Holly Venik, in memory of their father, Herman Venik, Chano Yisrael Ben Ruvain, Zichron Levracha, a week of learning sponsor, Howard and Aileen Friedman, in memory of Howard's mother, Tilla Bas Chaim, and our day of learning sponsor, Adam and Leslie Rosen, in honor of the birthday of their son, Gideon. Beautiful. Looking forward to your bracha today. So I'm looking forward to your continued learning and insightful questions for Rabbi Silber. We wish Gideon a happy birthday. Admeva Esim Shanim Tovos. All of the neshamas should have an aliyah. The families in Nechama. And we thank all of our sponsors for their incredible generosity. All right, it was a wonderful thank you. I'm sorry about that mistake. So we'll say now we go back. So says the Gemara, my amalsira. So by the way, let's go back for just a moment. We never actually defined this. I mean, we defined it for ourselves. But lamaisa, what is an amalsira? So the Gemara says, Rav Chama Breid Rava Baravua Amar Kini. We'll say, look at this, the first white line in the Gemara. He says, it's Kini. What's Kini? So we'll say, if you look at Rashi, the Aidi D'chashiv, Kini, I'm sorry, you go on Kine Ofos, how you bolt in Mitachas Ha'ulam Lamala, Lamala Min HaPasach. So we'll say, these were engravings of birds' nests. So that's actually the first image I sent you on the WhatsApp chat. You could see again, if you enlarge it, you could see it's engravings. It's engravings of birds' nests. So it's according to this first opinion, it's not, I mean, it's still a cornice, as we're going to see, but Lamanis, it's artwork, it's wood engravings. So the Gemara says, Kiyasa, Kimi, Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, Umar, Rav and Aris Yisrael, they said, Paski da Arza, cedar beams. So says the Gemara, Rav Rashi, Klunosos shal Erez, Aruchin Tchuvin Bekosel, Va'aydi Dinafish Mashche Orech Dido, Chazilu Inshi Ve'ika Akir. So if you can imagine for just a moment, according to the second opinion, these were cedar beams, and if you can imagine, it was a series of beams, the top one being longer and each one getting a little bit shorter as it goes down to the entrance. So a beautiful, like, artistic entranceway. So it says the Gemara, Man Damra Paski, the Arzo, Kol Shekin Kini, supposed to see the opinion who said that it was a Paska, the Arzo, ultimately, again, would certainly agree that Allah Chalamayse, if it was carved a bird's nest, it would be okay. Well, so what does this mean? Remember, what's the Ochap of the Amal Surah? If you hold that an Amal Surah works for an entranceway that is more than 20 amas high, why is that? Because we'll say we're operating under the assumption right now that what function does the Korah serve? What does the Korah do? What does it do? Heker. It's a reminder, which means that pretty much anything that catches your attention is going to work. So if you hold that an Amal Surah is engraved bird's nest, or we'll say, so then what? people are definitely going to look at that. That's going to catch attention. So if you, so we'll say, so even according to the opinion you held that it was cedar beams, halacha lemaisa would certainly agree that if it was engraved bird's nest, it certainly would be wonderful to catch people's attention. But we'll say, but the opinion you held that the amalsara was engraved bird's nest, it might just be engraved bird's nest that worked, but just having pieces of cedar wood might not be enough. To which the Gemara says, "Man damar paski de arza mai taima mishum de nafish mashche." But according to the opinion, who says that it was beams of cedar wood, so why is it that that would catch people's attention at an entranceway that is the malame esri mama? Because it had a length; it was very long. So we'll say, remember again, just the imagery is it was five different beams. The top one being longer, and then each of them getting successively shorter. So because the beams really spanned a good amount of the doorway, they would catch people's attention. So we'll say, aye, but one second. Sukkah also extends for a great length. And yet the Rabbanan said that if it's l'malo be'esrim, the sukkah is not kasher. To which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, cedar wood is very expensive. So because cedarwood is very expensive, therefore, again, this entranceway with all of this cedarwood will have a cult, right? People will say, ah, look at that expensive entranceway. It'll catch people's attention. Good. Mikzas Rabosei, so again. So therefore, halacha lemaisa Rabosei, what we still come out with over here is a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. So just understand, that machlokes is still unresolved. I mean, it's resolved. We paskin like the Rabbanon, but I'm just wondering, as far as the Gemara goes, that machlokes is here, and the machlokes is what the machlokes is about. So remember, Rav's shita is machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is what. From where do we glean the dimensions of the paradigmatic entranceway? According to the Rabbanon, entranceway of Heichal 20x10. According to Rabbi Yehuda, entranceway of the Ulam 40x20. But again, that's Rav. According to others, that's not the case. According to others, Lamaisa again, they just glean their dimensions from other places, Lavdak from Echol, or more appropriately, they glean their dimensions based on what they feel will catch the attention of people. According to the second approach, the Rabbanu Shita is Lamala Me'esrim, people just don't look. It's too high. It's just out of ocular range. Nothing to do with the Heichal. The Heichal is just a simon. It's just a shaila of what people look at. But interestingly enough, then based on that understanding is, what if you have something that's eye-catching? What if you have something that's unique or different? Will that allow you to go ahead and be machshir an entranceway that is lamala me'asum? That's a machlokes as well. Okay, we'll see some of the resolution of the halacha lemaisa tomorrow, Amir Sashem. Next, miktas korah b'sochasim, miktas korah lamala me'asum. Well, so this is an interesting case. What happens if the korah in question over here has a thickness? So they're both saying, so the way that it's situated is part of the bottom part of the korah, let's say, extends into the 20. But the upper part of the korah extends lamala be'esrim. We'll see, interesting shaila, no? See here, the korah isn't situated within 20, but not totally above 20. Part of it is within the 20, part of it is above the 20. So what's the halacha? Miktas korah b'sochasrim, miktas korah lamala be'esrim. Or we'll say, for that matter, miktas schach b'sochasrim, or miktas schach lamala be'esrim. We'll say, same shaila. What happens if you have schach? Some of the schach is within 20 amos. Some of the schach is above. So we'll say, remember again, let's take a step back. According to the Shita of the Rabbana, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? A mavoi cannot be taller than 20 amos. A sukkah cannot be taller than 20 amos. In the case in question over here, I have a mavoi where the korah, some of it is within 20, some of it is above 20. Schach, fix schach, some of it is within 20, some of it is above 20. What's the halacha? So I'm a rabbah. Rabbah says, b'mavui kosher, b'sukkah pasal. Rabbah says, in a mavoi it's okay, sukkah is pasal. What's the pshat? It's actually fascinating. Mashna b'mavui de kosher. Damiran kalosh. So we'll say it's very simple. Rabbah will say like this. In a mavui, what we can essentially do is, halacha l'maisa, we view the korah as if it's thinned out, which is another way of saying, we just view the piece of the korah that is above 20 amos as what? As non-existent. It's just not there. So the Gemara says, I sukkah nami lema kalush. So why don't you say the same thing by sukkah? Just say ultimately what? The part of the schach, that's the mala me'esrim, is also viewed as if it's not there. Here's the problem. I kalashta, if you remove, or if you theoretically remove the top part of the schach, then what? Havili chamasa meruba mitzilasa. But say, what's going to be the problem? It's going to have more sunlight than shade. Hachanami ikalash da havili korah hanitalas beruach. So what's with the korah also? If you theoretically shave off the top of the korah that is lamad lame esrim, the korah might also not be strong enough. For both, we're going to see that a korah, right, a beam which could be blown away in just an everyday wind, is not a proper beam. So the same way that you're nervous to shave. Now, Bosa, when we speak about shaving off, we of course, we mean theoretically. Theoretically, if we view the top part of the schach as if it's not there, the part that's the malas, if it's not there, the Gemara says, well, the schach is going to be invalid. Because if that part is not there, there's going to be more sunlight than shade. Well, okay, say the same thing by korah. If you view the part of the korah that's the malas, if it's not there, the korah is not going to be strong enough to withstand the normal wind. To which the Gemara says, Ela karchach nasu kishipudin shamateches. So rather, also, what you have to say is, when we thin out the korah, we view it as thin rods of metal. So we'll say a thin rod of metal, even though it's thin, is still strong enough to withstand the wind. So if you're going to say that, then halacha lamaisa, you could also view the schach, even if you're taking off the top layer, as still providing more shade than sunlight. Rava Barzakia said, there's a simpler idea. Sukkah diliyachitu, diliyachiti, lo mitkar. Mavui dilrabim mitkari ahadadi. So we'll say Rava comes to explain Rava, and Rava says it's something different. Rava says it's very simple. Sukkah, which belongs to an individual, what are we concerned about? See, Rava will say, if halacha lemaisa, let's go with this approach. Let's go with this approach. And let's say that when you have a korah that's part above esrim, part besoch esrim, or schach, that's part above esrim, part besoch esrim, let's say that halacha l'maaseh, we could view the part that's above esrim as if it's not there. So Rabbah came along and said, fine, for mavui it works, for sukkah it doesn't work. Rabbah says, why is that? Why is that? Very simple. Because Rabbah said, in order to do that, you must make sure that the schach that is besoch esrim has the requisite shear for kasher schach without the schach that is l'malmes. So in other words, Rabbah said, if this whole thing is going to work by essentially viewing the schach and the korah that is above 20 as if it's non-existent, that means that the schach within 20 must be sufficiently kosher. What we're concerned about is because sukkah is for the individual will not be as vigilant. Because the mavui belongs to the collective, therefore what? Therefore the collective will be vigilant and ensure that the amount of the korah within esrim will be sufficiently strong to be able to withstand the ruach metsuya. Ravina disagrees. Ravina Amar, Sukkah Doraisa Achmir Rabbi Rabbanon, Mavoi Drabbanon, Mavoi Drabbanon Lachmir Rabbi Rabbanon. So we'll say, sorry, Ravina just gives another interpretation. Ravina says, Sukkah, which is Doraisa, Chazawar Machmir. So Mavoi, which is Drabbanon, Chazawar Nat Machmir. So we'll say, this is all backing up Rabbah, right? Because Rabbah ultimately said that a Mavoi is Kasher, Sukkah is Pasol. Rav Adabar Masna, Masni lahashmaita de Rabba Ipcha. So Rav Adabar Masna had an opposite version of Rabbah. Watch this. Amar Rabbah, b'mavui pasal b'sukkah kshira. So we'll say in this version, Rabbah actually said that halacha lamaisa, a mavui, if you have a korah that goes b'soch esrim and lamalame esrim, it's going to be pasal, but by a sukkah it'll be kasher. What's the pshat? Maishna sukkah de kshira. So we go through this whole exercise again. Why is the sukkah kasher? I mean, kalush, because we'll say we view the schach as if it's thinned out. View the schach that is above esrim as if it's not there. I b'mavoi nami lema kalush. So saying the mavoi, why don't you also say that the top of the korah that's the malame esrim is thinned out? So the Gemara says ikalashta havile korah intas v'ruach. Because if you thin out the top of the mavoi, then it's a mavoi that's blown away by a common wind. Hachinami kalashta havile chamas yonam tzilasa. He'll say, but if I thin out the schach, isn't the schach that's left? It no longer provides more shade than sun. Rather, you have to say that we know, we view it as providing more shade than sun. Well, if that's the case, view the thinned out korah as pieces of metal, which can withstand a ruach mitsuya. So we'll say now again, just an exact opposite version of what we said before. Sukkah, we'll listen to this. So we'll say in this version, Rava says like this, Sukkah, dil yachid hi rami anafshe. Umidgare. No, in this version, Rabbi Osai, Rabbah allows for the hechsher of thinned out schach, or a what we call theoretically thinned out schach. Why? Because the person will be makbid to make sure that the amount of schach that is within 20 amas, halach lemaisa, is sufficient. Because since I know that I bear the sole responsibility for this, I will take care of it. Rabbi Osai, watch this incredible Gemara. Mavui de la rabim hi samchi ahadadi velo midgare. Rabbi Osai, but the mavui, which is joint responsibility. We'll say, what happens when there's joint responsibility? Incredible, something happens when there's multiple people responsible for something, which is nothing gets done, right? So when one person is responsible, stuff gets done. When multiple people are responsible, nothing gets done. So we'll say, listen to this adage. Darmi inshi, people say, kadra de beshutfe, a pot of partners, right? The pot owned by two people, lo chamima velo karira. Never gets hot and never gets cold. Right, so we'll say, what happens? And this is such an incredible yisod in life. Tragedy, right? I'm sorry?
Tragedy of the commons,
right? So incredible. So, right, so this is the yisod. We'll say, and it's such an important yisod in life. You know, sometimes collaboration is wonderful, but sometimes collaboration leads to inaction because everyone assumes that the other one is doing. So therefore, in this version over here, we're much less concerned about a sukkah, because I know my sukkah is my responsibility. There's no one else that gear my sukkah except me. But the mavui is problematic, ultimately, since the mavui is the general, is the public's. So everyone assumes that someone else is taking care of it. They both say, such an incredible yisod in life also. If you want to accomplish something in life, you cannot outsource your success to anyone else. There's so many times in life, people say, ah, you know what, I'd love to do X, but you know, I need this person to do this, I need this person to do that, I need this person to help you, this person to do that. Don't outsource your success. If you want something done in life, if you want to accomplish something, you must take the reins yourself, you must not rely on anyone else, and you must get the job done. Because the pot of partners kind of just atrophies away. It never gets too hot, it never gets too cold, it kind of just sits there. Everyone pays a little bit of attention to it sometimes, no attention to it other times. You want something done in life, be the total balach rayis. Ravina amar sukkah daraisa labai chizik. Ravina says, well, in this version, sukkah which is daraisa doesn't need any chizik. Mavoy drabanam bai chizik. My havi ala, so what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Rabbi Bar Ula Amar Zev Zeh Pasel. So we'll say Rabbi Bar Ula said both by the Mavui. So we'll remember again, it's a very specific case. This is a Mavui whose Korah is Lamata Me'esrim and Lamala Me'esrim. Sukkah whose Schach is Lamata Me'esrim, Lamala Me'esrim. So what's that look on such a case? So Rabbi says both cases are Pasel. Rabbi says Zeh V'Zeh Kosher. Rabbi says both cases work. Both cases work. Zeh V'Zeh Kosher. Amid Beis. Chalol sukkah tinan, chalol mavui tinan. We'll say, listen to this, it's actually very interesting. Look at Rashi, chalol sukkah tinan, eshem amos shuskro be mavui ben besukkah, achalolokan. We'll say, this is actually quite fascinating. The halacha is, if you look at the wording over here, it's mavui shu gavoa lemala me eshem ama. Sukkah shu gavoa me eshem ama. So we'll say, when it says eshem ama refers to what? Really refers to what? To the airspace. It's to the cavity is the wrong word. But we'll use, you know, the airspace, the opening, which tells you that halacha lemaisa, the ultimate thing, you could have an opening that is 20 amis with the schach or the korah resting right on top of that. So because of that, Rava says that halacha lemaisa, if you have a situation of a korah where part of it extends in the 20, part of it extends above the 20, or for that matter, the sukkah, part of the schach is in 20, part of the schach is above 20, that is unequivocally kosher. Totally fine. Tnan. Amli Rapapa the Rabbah. Time to miss me. So we'll say, Rapapa says to Rabbah, we have a brisa that supports you. So, Mavui Shugaval me Esrim Ama Yosem Epischo Shal Heichal Yemait. So we'll say, so the brisa says that if you have a Mavui whose entrance way is taller than 20 amas, which is able to say that the korah is above 20 amas, the korah should be brought down. Just like what? So we'll say if it's taller than the entrance of the heichal, it should be diminished. In other words, the korah should be brought down. The heichal gufa chalolo eser. And we'll say again, it's interesting because once again over here you see that the Braisa is comparing the entrance of the mavoi to the entrance of the heichal. And we'll say the entrance of the heichal, the airspace of the heichal was how much? 20 amas. So you see from here that halacha lemaisa, the korah need not occupy the interior space of the 20 amas, but rather, again, it must sit right on top of it. Ready? So it could sit, obviously it can be within 20 amos, that's not a problem, but you could leave up to 20 amos of internal space with the korah mamish sitting on top of the, we'll call it the cavity, right? The entrance, the airspace. Same thing with tzchach. So Simi Rashi brought a question to Rav Papa. How would they make the mavoi? Hayamaniach korah. We'll say, how would they make the entrance of the mavui? They would place the korah. They would place the korah from within 20 amos. Misfas esrim ulamata. So we'll say this is very interesting because I will say it's interesting that they're arguing mamish like in this last little piece. So according to what we just said, according to what our papa just said, so really you could have up to 20 amos of airspace with the korah sitting right on top of the 20 amos. Yet here the Braisa says that the korah must be situated where? Within the 20 amos of airspace. To which the Gemara says, Ema ulamala. No, no, just change it. It shouldn't say ulamato. It shouldn't say below the 20 amos. Rather, it should say right above the 20 amos. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Bahalamata katani. That's not what it says. It says, the Braisa says explicitly that the korah should be placed within the 20 amos. Hakamash malon dilamata kilamala. It's teaching us about that the upper shear or the height shear, I'll call it the maximum height shear, is just like the minimum height shear. How so? Mala mala chalala esrim, just like Rabbi Osai, the maximum height of an entrance you have a mavoi could be 20 amos, full 20 amos of airspace. Af lamata chalala asara. So it's Rabbi Osai, the minimum height of the entrance you have a mavoi must be at least a full 10 tefachim. Well, we'll see this later on, but a full 10 tefachim. So I'll say, if an entranceway is less than 10 tefachim, that's not called an entranceway. And there must be a complete entranceway, a full 10 tefachim of airspace. So therefore, just like the top airspace could be a maximum of a full 20, with the korah sitting right on top of the 20, so too halacha l'maaseh, so the minimum must be a full 10 tefachim of airspace. Okay, good. Incredible. So we'll say, so by the way, that is indeed how we paskin. Halacha, I suggest you should know, we paskin like Rava, that both by Mavui as well as by Sukkah, so everything could be situated right at the top of the 20. And furthermore, we also paskin that Halacha, I say, if you have a Korah or Schach that extends Lamala Me'esrim, as long as some of it is Lamata Me'esrim, it is 100% kosher. Amar Abayi Mishrei Rav Nachman. So we'll see an interesting halacha now. So we're going to get into the discussion regarding amas. So we're going to see amas are made up of tfachim. But different, the machlokes sometimes, or I should say different situations, we use different amos, a different ama of different sizes. So for example, Abayi says, in Rav Nachman, ama for sukkah and ama for mavoi, but ama bas chamisha is an ama that is made up of five tfachim. Amos kilayim, the ama for kilayim, but ama bas shisha is an ama made up of six tefachim. Amos mavui, if you have the ama of a mavui, but ama bas chamisha lemay hilcha. So that's what I said. When we say that the ama of a mavui is an ama made up of five tefachim, so what does that mean? Very simple, legovo. So we'll say what it means is when measuring the height. So we said before that the maximum height of a korah in a mavui is what? Is 20 amos. Just know that we're talking about an ama that is made up of five tefachim, a five tefach ama, or the pirtza. So remember again, if you have an opening that's more than 10 tefachim wide, that's not called an opening, that's called the pirtza, a breach. So what type of ama are you using? An ama made up of five tefachim. So the Gemara says, but I will say, that's fine, but what about the fact that, what about the length of a mavui? Now I will say, that interestingly enough, that's fine because remember, using a five tefach ama for height and for breeches creates ultimately a chumrah, which is fine. What about the fact that for the minimum dimensions of a mavoi, which we're assuming are arba amos, so now we haven't seen this before. The Gemara has mentioned this now for the first time, that a mavoi has minimum length dimensions. So if we're saying that the minimum length dimensions of a mavoi are four amos, and you're using an ama of five tefachim as opposed to an ama of six tefachim, that yields a leniency, right? Because then you could establish the minimum interior of a mavoi much more easily. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara says, Dilakula, Kiman Damar Ba'arba Tfachim. Chazavos said, the truth is, we hold like the opinion of holds actually the minimum interior of a mavui is not dalat amos, but instead four tefachim. Bibai same, the other possibility is ba'arba amos. Even according to the opinion, it says the minimum measure of the interior of a mavui is dalat amos. V'rov amos kamar. What it means is that when it comes to mavui, most of the amos used are five tefach amos. But it could be that, for example, in measuring interior space, we would not use a five tefach amos, but instead we would use a six tefach amos. Fine. Amos sukkah ba'amah bas chamish shalmayilcha. So when we say that the amos of a sukkah is an amos that is made up of five tefachim, what is that referring to? L'gofa u'ledofen akuma. We'll say that first to the height. Remember, the height of a sukkah, maximum height, is 20 amos. What type of amos are we talking about? An amos made up of five tefachim. Or Dofen HaKumah. Both say Dofen HaKumah is an incredible halacha l'moshe misen, which we're going to talk about. Dofen HaKumah, both say, essentially says like this, that if you have a wall, and then you have invalid schach, and right next to that invalid schach is your valid schach, you can have up to dalid amos, four amos of invalid schach that are attached to the wall of the sukkah, without invalidating the sukkah, because we view that as what? Dofen HaKumah means a bent wall. So you have up to four amas of invalid schach right next to the wall between the kasher schach without invalidating your sukkah. Halacha l'moshe misen called the bent wall, dofen akuma. So when we say that the amma of a sukkah is an amma of five amas, is an amma of five tefachim, excuse me, that talks about for height, for dofen akuma purposes, ay v'ha ika meshach sukkah ba'ar ba'amos delakula. But 1 second, what about the minimum interior of a sukkah? Where I both say, we're saying is the minimum interior of a sukkah is dalet amas. Now if you use an amma of five tefachim versus an amma of six tefachim, that represents a kula, to which the Gemara said, the Sanya Rebbe Omer, and Rebbe Omer, Ani Ko Sukkah Shema Dalet Amos, Dalet Amos Psula, to which the Gemara says, Kirabban, Darmi Afilo, Inamach Sekas, Al Roshav, Ruba Vishulchano. Because we'll say, puzzle, they're reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanon who say, that Allah Elamaisa Sukkah does not need an interior of Dalet Amos, but rather what? As long as a Sukkah has at least an area of Roshav, Ruba, as long as it can maintain your body, right? Your head, the majority of your body, and your table, that's good enough. V'bay seima le'olam Rebbe, hiva rov amas kamar. The other possibility is a reflexive view of Rebbe, which again requires an interior space of dalet amas. And when it means that halacha l'maisa, the amma of sukkah is an amma five tefachim, it means most of the amos by sukkah are ones made up of five tefachim, but it's possible for measuring interior space, maybe we will use an amma ultimately of six tefachim. So we'll have to stop over here. So just again, just so you understand what we left off with. What we left off with is just the Gemara telling us that now that we've been speaking about all of these different measurements and ammas, interestingly enough, different ammos are made up of different measurements. Sometimes you'll have an amma that is four tefachim, sometimes you'll have an amma that is made up of five tefachim, right? So the Gemara says, five tefachim or six tefachim, and ultimately, again, so far we've seen by mavoi what the halacha is, by sukkah what the halacha is, and the Mir Tzitzit tomorrow will pick up with klai hakerem, forbidden mixtures within a vineyard. Shkach avosai. Yeah.